Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. In this special edition of the podcast, editor Frank Legato interviews Joe Bilheimer, the executive vice president and leader of the Pennsylvania properties for the Cordish Companies, about the recent openings in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. The GGB podcast is brought to you by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learner provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com. Cordish Companies became an East Coast gaming dynamo when it opened a live casino in Maryland outside of Baltimore in 2012. Now Cordish has moved into the Pennsylvania market, first with a mini casino near Pittsburgh, and earlier this month with the live casino hotel in Philadelphia. Gaming veteran Joe Bilheimer is in charge of both casinos and explains why he's very enthusiastic about the markets on each side of the state. The Philadelphia facility is in the City Stadium District, where Cordish already operated the non-gaming Xfinity Live project, so this casino carries a heavy sports theme. Bilheimer met with GGB editor Frank Legato in Philadelphia prior to the grand opening.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. We're here with Joe Bilheimer for the occasion of the opening of Live Casino Hotel Philadelphia. Joe is the Executive Vice President and General Manager of Cordish Companies Pennsylvania Properties. Thank you for being here today, Joe.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Now, notwithstanding the COVID-19 restrictions, how have initial operations gone during the preview days at Live Philadelphia and in Live Pittsburgh as well?
Live Pittsburgh has gone very well, and we're kind of off and running there in our formal process of how we're going to operate in the future. Here, we've done preview periods for the last 2 weeks. Just trying to get our feet under us and making sure that we're operating in a safe manner from the pandemic standpoint. And I think the team here has done a great job, and we're ready to go.
Okay. Tell us the inherent advantages you see in each of these markets in Pennsylvania and each location.
Well, in Pittsburgh, it's a very isolated market that we kind of control everything from the east side of Pittsburgh over to the Westmoreland area. It's a great area. We're in a fantastic mall that's been frequented for years by the area. So I think we're in a great spot there. In Philadelphia, we have a location second to none in the Stadium District, just off I-76, in between I-76 and 95. And it's very visible for anyone coming in for sporting event, and also from the major highways.
In Philly, you've said in the past that you had your eyes on this South Philly as a casino location for a long time, partly because you had the Xfinity Live attraction there. Tell us how you ended up with this prime location in the heart of the Stadium District.
Well, I'd have to tip the hat to the Cordish family and the Cordish side of the development team for, you know, doing what nobody has been able to do for a long time in securing a site here in the Philadelphia area. So I wasn't actually part of selecting the site or nailing it down, but my gosh, it's one of the best sites left in America.
Now, most casinos in Pennsylvania market to 20 to 5 to 50 mile radius. How are you extending the marketing reach of the Philadelphia property beyond that? Do you feel you're more of a regional destination than a local destination?
Well, I think we're absolutely a local / regional destination here for the South Jersey, Philadelphia metro market. But we're going to extend our reach given the fact that we operate in the Stadium District with four major league teams with visiting fans from major cities across the country. We're going to reach out to those individual cities and extend our marketing arm, if you will, out that far, and in conjunction with a lot of other Cordish live district developments in some of the other cities, and look forward to bringing those folks in.
For years now, we've been covering this from the very beginning in Pennsylvania. There were fears that Philadelphia regional market was becoming oversaturated with gaming supply. How do you feel the Live facility is going to grow the market rather than cannibalizing other casinos?
Well, I think if you look at the facility we built here with 208 rooms, we're the first casino development in the Commonwealth to actually build a hotel with its development. I think our location, is poises the market for some growth. And we also plan on keeping a lot of business that otherwise may go to Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll still go, but it'll be a little less frequent, and we're giving them a first-class alternative.
Now, if you had to pinpoint one aspect of Live Philadelphia that's going to make it stand out in that very crowded local Philadelphia region market, what would it be?
I would say our location is by far one of the best, as I mentioned earlier, in the country. I also think the quality of this facility, as you're able to walk around, this is not a something that was put together and put a few slots and a few tables in. This was built as a resort destination.
Mm-hmm. Now we're surrounded by sports, not only within this property, but just all around us. Tell us about the role sports in general have in the anticipated success of this property, particularly when the stadiums return to full occupancy.
Yeah, it's a loaded question there because there's so much to think about with the stadiums. I mean, this is really the only spot where all four major league teams of a city are actually located in one area, with the Sixers and Flyers at Wells Fargo, the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park, and the Eagles at the Link, all within walking distance of this facility. So as the fans come back, we're ready to welcome them and be a fun piece, or maybe even the fifth team here in the stadium district.
Yeah, things are going to get crazy when on game day here on. And you've got many game days.
yeah, well over 200 active days in the stadium district once things get back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the Pittsburgh property for a bit. It's the first Category 4 casino to be opened in Pennsylvania, and one of two that's located in a retail mall. Tell us about the advantages of this location and how the Cordish experience with the Anne Arundel Mall in Maryland. How has that helped?
Well, I think again the Cordish experience and the Cordish gaming experience operating within a mall has proven to be beneficial in terms of foot traffic. Their understanding of location and where people like to go is been very successful in Maryland. In Westmoreland, while a smaller scale, I mean, we don't call it it is a very nice, well-appointed casino, 750 mm-hmm. slots, 30 tables, two great dining venues. We're really proud of how that fits into the market there. And again, we think it'll be a draw for that whole part of Pennsylvania.
The GGB podcast is sponsored this week by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learning provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. Find out how your casino can enhance your personnel's performance, ensure compliance, and protect resources. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com.
What are the differences in how you operate the smaller Category 4 property and this property, which is a Category 2 in Philadelphia?
I don't think that we look at operating them any differently in terms of how we treat gamers and how we run our loyalty programs. I mean, we have one of the best top 10 loyalty programs in the country that we're growing from the Maryland Live Live Rewards program. So all those pieces will be operated the same. In Philly, obviously, it's a little bit more resort destination, so mm-hmm. it'll be a little bit more extended stay, a little bit bigger reach in terms of the marketing, from outer market, where Pittsburgh will be a lot more inner market, and Pittsburgh will drive play to here, as well as our Maryland Live property.
Mm-hmm. And we know Live Philadelphia is in the process or planning partnerships with all the major sports teams in Philadelphia. Now, Pittsburgh is also an intense sports market. How are you capitalizing on that with the live facility?
Well, in Pittsburgh, we actually have one of the more higher-end sports and social properties within the portfolio. It's an unbelievable spot to watch sports. Mm-hmm. And we're talking and we'll do things in the Pittsburgh market with the sports teams, with seats. And as you mentioned here, we've actually executed agreements with all four of the sports teams in various forms. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll be involved in both. And actually, in Pittsburgh, the Steelers training camp is right down the road from our facility there. So we'll look forward to hopefully some normal operations come the summer.
On the south side. On the south side of Pittsburgh. I know it well. Tell us about the logistics and challenges of building and opening both Pennsylvania casinos in this opened in the space of 2 months in the middle of a pandemic, and how did you overcome those challenges?
I don't think we have enough time in the podcast to kind of go through the logistics of that, but the I would start with the construction teams, you know, the logistics of operating and or building a facility under the COVID restrictions, you know, obviously added a bunch of challenges. Both teams did an unbelievable job in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. The process of hiring and getting your team together and trained, you know, as we got into the latter part of the pandemic and trying to train people in a socially distanced, safe manner, was extremely challenging. And, you know, our team's done an amazing job. I will say it's not perfect everywhere, mm-hmm. but it certainly has been an amazing journey to watch. You know, opening two casinos within 60 days is challenging enough. Opening mm-hmm. two casinos within 60 days during a pandemic has certainly sharpened all of our minds in terms of processes and getting things done.
Were you able to get a good balance of like in-person training and remote training during this process?
Yeah. We actually executed in Westmoreland an actual live dealer school, again, socially distanced, in a manner that worked for that time. In Philadelphia, we actually executed a virtual training school, which had some aspects of learning how to deal via some labs where you'd come in, much like college, you come in for a lab and do an exercise or two, but 90% of it was virtual. Mm-hmm. And I will say with both of them, we had well over 90% success rate. So it'll be something that we continue to do here in Philadelphia in the virtual way.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing is you were committed to hiring local. How much of your workforce did you end up having that had an actual experience in casinos, like, you know, Atlantic City on this side, and there's a couple of casinos in the Pittsburgh region?
Yeah, depending upon the position, you know, well over, you know, 90%+ of our gaming staff had experience either from in the case of Philadelphia, New Jersey, or the Philadelphia region. In Westmoreland, again, you know, a lot of trained staff coming out of either West Virginia, the Pittsburgh market, Nemacolin, mm-hmm. you know, the surrounding properties there. So we got a good local workforce in both areas. In Westmoreland, we found a lot of people that were from Westmoreland that had moved to Pittsburgh and, you know, learned the trade and wanted to come back. And in Philadelphia, we're seeing the same thing with a lot of folks that went to Atlantic City mm-hmm. That were looking for kind of a resort destination property to work, and now they're coming home to our South Philly location.
And opening in the pandemic, I mean, you had the Maryland property as kind of a model of how to operate safely. Your gaming floor here in Philadelphia is just fully equipped with plexiglass barriers, sanitation stations, thermal cameras. How much of this do you anticipate remaining in place once this whole pandemic has passed?
It's really tough to say. I mean, I would second what you mentioned there. The team in Maryland Live, I think, set a lot of standards, even, you know, for the industry in terms of the plexiglass development. It wasn't 2 weeks into the pandemic that Rob had the team starting to think through that and develop ideas around it. for here and Westmoreland and there, you know, we want people to feel safe. We want our team members to feel safe, our guests to feel safe. So we'll probably leave it up as long as there's any kind of demand for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to be safe than sorry in this process. And we've, as you mentioned too, we've spared no expense in making sure that we overdo it a little bit in terms of that as well. And we also keep our occupancy down. Voluntarily, you know, we could probably go to higher occupancies in all of our locations, and
mm-hmm.
we've decided, you know, to make the guests feel safe and develop that reputation.
There's a sea of plexiglass down there. Did you run into shortages? I know there's been shortages across the country of that acrylic material. How was the purchasing in that?
It's a fair point. Given our experience in Maryland and knowing how much we had to go through. And then the fact from a Cordish development side, we actually have a division that actually does mill work. Mm-hmm. And through that division, we went ahead and purchased a lot of plexiglass over the summer to be prepared for the fall. But I think had we not done that, we might have run into quite mm-hmm. a few issues.
Mm-hmm. There's a smoking ban in place temporarily in Pennsylvania. Do you think that's going to become permanent once... the other restrictions are lifted? And if so, are you prepared to provide gaming plazas in Pennsylvania as you have in Maryland?
We don't have any plans for any outdoor smoking here, other than, you know, the outside areas from a gaming perspective right now. We do have plans to allow smoking up to 25% mm-hmm. at both our Pittsburgh and Philadelphia locations pursuant to the PA Clean Indoor Act, but we'll watch and see what the political landscape is on that and adapt to it.
Mm-hmm. Now you opened your online gaming site, the first casino to open the online site before the physical casino opened. How's that benefited you, and how has the GAN platform performed so far?
The last part, again, platform has performed very well. It's certainly a business that we as a company are learning. It certainly has created an insight into guests and a database in both locations. And then we've also seen an increase in that guest interactive play between once the bricks and mortars have opened in each location. And we're going to continue to explore that and grow that and, integrate it into our reward system as well.
You mentioned previously that a lot of the people that are coming here for these preview days are already well familiar with the brand and already signed up for your loyalty program.
Yeah, and that's all part of it. That's, that and really just the huge presence that Maryland Live, had in, throughout the Northeast region in its development.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The FanDuel Sportsbook, how large a role do you anticipate the Sportsbook playing in drawing customers to your property and retaining them?
Well, in both locations, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, the Pittsburgh sports fan is unlike any other. So, having that in our location there has been tremendous. I only see that growing as we sit here in Philadelphia. And you just imagine, 80,000-90,000 fans plus, all the extras coming in for an Eagles game,
mm-hmm.
And all the other sporting events here. It's going to play a much larger role here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think we're partnered with one of the best sportsbook operators. They are the best mm-hmm. sportsbook operators, so we're thrilled to death to be partnered with them.
They have a ton of in-play wagering options. Do you think that's going to transform the sports book, which has been, like in Las Vegas, kind of a value add, loss leader? Do you think that's going to be a revenue center, the sports book?
I absolutely think the retail book within both our properties will be major revenue centers. And unlike I think we've seen in the past out west, in my little bit of experience out west, kind of nice to have here. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a major pillar of our part of our business.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to mention the R Bar too. That's one of the unique aspects of this property. Can you talk a little bit about how that was developed and how it was introduced in Maryland?
Yeah. So Rob Norton, many years ago, with Maryland Live, with Alt Table Games, developed probably the most aggressive interblock gaming portfolio out there, because that was legal in Maryland in the early days. And R Bar is a piece of that, where we have all of our ETGs in both Maryland and here in Philly, and it's a very interactive area with sports, great bar, and then the game offerings of Interblock in kind of a stadium style. So
Is that all of your ETGs concentrated in the one area?
Yeah, all of our ETGs.
You have 78, I believe.
Yeah. You have 74.
74.
Yeah.
Can you bet sports on those too?
No, you can't. Okay. No, they're just they're basically electronic table games.
And you can play four games at once.
That's right. Right.
Okay, with both your Pennsylvania facilities up and running, what are your largest priorities for this year?
I guess we're fine-tuning the business, getting our team, with the COVID environment, integrated into the live culture, maintaining, the momentum that we've already started in Pittsburgh and continuing it here in Philadelphia, hiring more great team members as we kind of grow the business here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to all the challenges of maybe a post-pandemic surge here.
Oh, yes. I can't wait until we have the full sports and seeing this place. That's got to be exciting for you.
It will be. It is now. It's interesting as people come through the facility. They come here and watch, the Flyers and the Sixers now, and you can see that they rather be in the stadium and visiting us either before or after. But we're certainly going to be a great spot for before the game, during the game, and after the game.
And state of the art hotel is going to help too.
That's right, 208 luxurious rooms sitting right above us.
Okay, Joe. Thank you very much for taking the time today. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And good luck to you, and congratulations on this property.
Thank you very much. Come on, come on, come on. I love. Oh, Billy, I love.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, brought to you by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learning provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com. To learn more about the growth of gaming companies via new facilities or renovations, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.